Going through Hebrews again, Paul writing to the Jews that were born of the Spirit of God. Let not that escape our mind when we talk about this chapter and speaking to them of faith. This is a household of faith. They could lay eyes on things that we see by faith. They saw in the early days of organized religion in the law service, they actually saw the Ark of the Covenant and the glory of God, which would appear in a thick cloud that would appear before those two cherubims, which were a type of Christ, Son of Man, the Son of God, looking one to another because their works would agree and God would appear to them in that cloud, because we cannot look upon God and live, because we are sin. Paul is writing to these Jews about faith. He's writing to them about faith in God. One thing you prayed, we need God every day. We are totally and wholly dependent on God. We can do nothing of our own except sin and die. It is God that has saved us. It is God that has carried us. It is God that has worked in us to will and to do of His own good pleasure. And all these things in Christ, His Son. There was a problem the Jews had with Christ because He made Himself the Son of God. They would not have that because God had blinded their eyes. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And He sent Him saying their eyes would be blinded for a time. We're talking about faith in the Creator of heaven and earth, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the power of God, the wisdom of God, He by whom all things were made, and don't forget this part, and for whom all things are made. It's all about Christ and the glory of God. Last week we spoke about the walls of Jericho fell down by faith. By faith. We saw two people there were mentioned that the Bible manifest had faith. One being Joshua. You see, I can do nothing. Pray for me. One Joshua, the other the harlot. Let that sink in. The harlot Rahab. She's right there. Matthew 1, 5. Rahab, the harlot, had faith in God. Remember, that teaches us that she's saved of God. She's born of the Spirit of God. Because faith is the fruit of the Spirit, you must be born again in order to have faith. If you have faith in God, if you have the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ, then you are born of God. It matters not who you are, your age in the womb as John the Baptist and Jeremiah, at the point of death like the thief on the cross. It does not matter, male nor female. If you know God, you're born of God. If you have faith, you're born of God. The walls of Jericho fell down. And the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies in peace. And we talked about that last week, and that scarlet thread that she had in her window, so that when they came in to the city, when God gave the city unto Israel, when God made the walls fall down, all they did was march around it in obedience to God and blow the trumpet. Made mention last week, we are to blow the trumpet today as we march around in this world of darkness. God causes those walls to fall. It's not the minister. It's not the ministry. It's God in Christ. And she was spared because of that scarlet thread, the blood of Christ. We start today in verse 31 of Hebrews 11, verse 33, I'm sorry, 32. And what shall I more say? Paul began this 11th chapter talking about faith. He began with Abel. who was slain of his brother, brought us up through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob unto Moses and Joshua and the harlot Rahab, all walking in faith, by faith, a gift from God, a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We have not seen God. Those who wrote these books, John says in 1 John chapter 1, they saw Him. They beheld Him. They touched Him. They heard Him speak. They heard Him preach. They saw Him raise the dead. God revealed to them that He was the Creator of heaven and earth, that He's the power of God and the wisdom of God, that He's the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. God revealed that to them. This is the household of faith. This is the church. The church has always been the household of faith. Even though many who walked in old Israel had not faith because they were not born of God, today those that God brings into this kingdom and the household of faith, they have faith in Christ. It's revealed in Christ to us. And what shall I more say? He's talked to these Jewish brethren of their heroes. They worshiped being the son of Abraham. Told the Christ, we be not born of fornication, implying his mother had conceived him out of marriage with a man. And we know that his father was God. We have Abraham to our father. They worshiped being the seed of God. The seed of Abraham, being the elect of God. We do not worship being the elect of God. The only man that we worship is the Son of Man, the Son of God, which is Christ the Lord. What shall I more say? I've told you from Abel through Abraham to Moses, who you worship because he gave the law. God gave him the law. God wrote it on two tables of stone, a type of our heart, which God takes away and gives a heart of flesh. God did the work. He did it through Moses. You have faith, and God works through you, just as he did with Abraham, who believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Why did he believe God? Because he was born of the Spirit and God revealed himself to him. Why did Moses do the things he did? Because he was born of the Spirit and God worked through him. God works in you, brethren. When you walk by faith in this dark, sinful world, Jesus Christ is manifest in you and he's glorified by your desires given from God to turn away from the world and seek the Lord. All that we have in faith that God gives us, the knowledge, the peace, the comfort. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. I'm not going to go through this and be quick. I see no point in it. There's so much beauty in here. This is one of the most beautiful chapters in Scripture. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me if I should more say. I couldn't say it all. I would leave something out. We could talk about each and every child of God which is mentioned in Scripture. And we'd never come to the end. We'd never stop talking about faith that God gives to His children. It is a gift of God. What do we have that is good that we did not get from God in Christ? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, the Father above, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of coming. And he mentions Gideon. And you'll notice these are not in order. He goes here and he backs up. He goes here and he backs up. I think this is given in a sense that we may understand it's not necessary in a chronological order of things, as we see in Genesis chapter 1, where God laid it forth of what He did and how He did it, so that we might understand why God made the heavens and the earth and exactly who they came from and who did create them, the living Word of God. This is given, it's not scattered, it's with intent, because it's guided by the Holy Spirit of God, that it's given that we might know that every single circumstance He's talking about is a child of God in faith. And listen to these people. They're not perfect. They're sinners. I am a stranger here below. We're born of God. Our home is in heaven. We walk in this sin-cursed earth. We strive to walk by faith. We strive to walk with Christ. We strive to walk with God. But this body is sin. It gets old. It begins to decay. It dies. It turns us against the very Spirit that God puts in us. For the Spirit is willing, but the flesh indeed is weak, tempted. Tempted, persecuted, cast down. No, they're not perfect. They're sinful men and women, but they are children of God, and they're born of God. They're given faith that they might magnify Christ in their bodies, that they may manifest the work of Christ and the glory of God and what God is working in them. And let's not leave this off. It's a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Faith gives us strength. Faith gives us joy. Faith gives us the ability to overcome our sinful nature, our faults, our shortcomings, because no matter what transpires in this world, God is sovereign and Christ is God in the flesh. And if you know Him, if you love Him, if you have faith in His finished work, then you're born of God and you're a child of God and you stand among the elect of God. It's the election of grace. Chapter 6, the book of Judges. Gideon. You read this chapter, you see where the children of Israel, does this not sound familiar? Let's look around today's time at how people live, how discipleship has fallen to the wayside. I'm not talking about the wicked in the world. I'm talking about the children of Israel. I'm talking about the children of the spiritual Israel of God. I'm talking about God's children. This is an example. The children of Israel, verse 1, Judges 6, did evil in the sight of the Lord. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Seven's a number of completeness, okay? So that justice of God was completed in delivering them into the hand of Midian. What were they doing? What were they doing? They were taking all of the natural resources that God had blessed Israel to have, their food, their natural resources, things which sustain life, things the body must have, food, nutrition, and the pleasures that come with that. And the Midianites were taking it from them and destroying it. Do we not see food prices going up so high today? Does this not happen today in another sense, in another way, where evil men make it hard? What's the first thing they do in war? They attack your supply lines. Why are they bombing ships over there in the sea around Israel to disrupt the supply line? You want to put a nation on its knees, attack its stomach. It's no different today. And you're given the answer also. Why is this happening? Because the children of God have done evil in the sight of the Lord. They prevailed against Israel. They would take their food when they'd sown it. They camped against Israel and destroyed the increase of the earth and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, they came as grasshoppers for multitude. There were so many Midianites, they were like the grasshoppers upon the ground. So very many, a great multitude. You're going to see things like this repeated over and over in the Old Testament. You're going to see God's people surrounded by mass numbers, mass multitudes of enemies. I was reading before church started with Elisha and the young man, the Bible calls him. And they were out in a place, and the young man was afraid because the enemies of Israel were there. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And don't you ever forget this. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. He saw a multitude of horses and chariots of fire. God's angels encampeth round them that fear him. We have to stand in faith of God while we live in this world. It is our hope. It is our joy to have this knowledge. They were like grasshoppers. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is evident. This is evident. They served under them for 7 years. Seven is complete. So you understand that when God judges a judgment, even if we cry and pray, which we do, and we're told to, and God hears, and God blesses that individual praying, and God blesses our churches, and God blesses our families, even though God blesses us, that judgment of God is going to be completed. 7 years they were in this situation. This republic is being judged. I made the statement when Slick Willie was put in office that this nation was under judgment to put one like that to rule over them. And we see that manifested today, do we not? It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. Make a point with this. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, verse 8, Judges 6, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I, who's doing the work? And I, says God, delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. Now here's my point. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Here's my point. But you have not obeyed my voice. How did they disobey God? What is the text about? They feared the gods, little g, of the Amorites. God told them, don't fear. Do not fear. You see, there is to be faith in God. Fear not. And yet they feared. And that was disobedience to God. They had not obeyed His voice. When we walk in faith in this world, when we worship God on the Lord's Day, when we love the widows and the fatherless, true and undefiled religion before God, when we care for our family, there's your first responsibility, dads and moms, when we care for the church, their family is the great responsibility to worship God. That's why we're created. From the get-go, we have been here to worship God, to dress the garden and keep it in that little place, a type of the church that God placed Adam called Eden. and not stand in fear. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Creator of heaven and earth. We've talked about parting the Red Sea. God did that. All that God has done, all that God has able to do, all that God promised, and His promises are yea and amen. There came an angel of the Lord, sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, Abiah's right, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. This is a good man. This is a man that God has blessed. He's making food. He's preparing it to hide it from the enemies of God's children. And again, just like Moses' mother and father, very probably disobeying the law of an evil king and taking this food and hiding it that they would have sustenance. Do you remember when they passed out West in California law, you could not collect rainwater because it belonged to the government? Brethren, somebody needs to wake up. This angel tells Gideon to go destroy the altar of Baal. I don't have time to get all through this, so I'm going to go a little forward. But hopefully the Lord will bless me to give you enough. Gideon perceives this is an angel. The Lord told him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not." There's that word. What are we talking about? Faith. Full assurance of God. Fear not. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. And it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal." Every single circumstance of God bringing His people into victory and giving them the land and the kingdom, they're told to destroy the altars of the pagan gods of the people of the land, which God would drive out. They did it with the sword. God did it with bees, hemorrhoids. God does not need armies of men, yet God commanded them to destroy the altars. They did it by force. It's no different today. We are still to destroy the altars of the pagans. Let that sink in. I've been told many times, you ought not say things like that. We are here with the sword of the Spirit, which is Christ. We're here to preach the Word of God. We're here to preach the truth. By preaching Christ and Him crucified, that the Son of God laid the glory of the Godhead aside, came to this world in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin, laid His life down, raised it up again, ascended back to the majesty on high where He sits at His right hand, forever maketh intercession for the saints. You don't see anything a preacher did in that. You don't see anything a church did in that. It's all in Christ. We do not come here to gain eternal life. We come here because God has freely given us eternal life in Christ. Well, how do I know? I just can't grasp on that predestination and election. The Bible's quite plain. If you love God, He first loved you. If you love God, you're among the elect of God. Listen, we are here to tear down their altars. How do we do it? By preaching the true gospel of Christ. There's not a man that had anything to do with it. Mark 14:51 says they all
forsook him and fled. That's where we were. He stood alone.
And he finished that work. He told him to build an altar, to tear down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. Now you catch that. We're talking about faith. We're talking about a man who had faith. He's a sinner. He's not perfect. His father has got an altar to Baal. Okay? And cut down the groves at his back. And build an altar to the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer it for a sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Tear down his altar, take this wood, offer a sacrifice to God with the wood of the other altar. That's total, total, total victory over that altar. You see, it not only is it torn down, but it's used in consuming it in a fire to make an offering to God. Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was. Now watch this, we're talking about faith. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Remember the Pharisee who came to the Lord by night? He was Gideon, a man of faith. He's mentioned over there in Hebrews 11, called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And he's afraid. He's afraid to do what God has commanded to do out in the open, where he would be seen doing it. So he did it by night. God blesses us with faith when our faith is weak or falters. God knows that we're sinners. God knows that we are but flesh, temporal in this world. And God blesses him. So they come around and they want to know who has done this thing. And his father Joash tells them his son had, and they changed his name to Jerubbaal. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. There's the preaching of the gospel. There's the sound of assembly. When we stand in faith, when we fight the enemy, when God hath delivered us a victory in Christ, and he has eternally, and he does temporally daily, we're to blow the trumpet. We're to give the glory to the Son of God. We're to preach the gospel. We're to live the gospel. We're to magnify Christ, manifest his work in our body. He sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they were gathered after him. And he sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came to meet him. Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. Here's another doubt. Here's another doubt. Here's this man doubting. I can relate to that. I know men that God has called to preach that willingly went right along and accepted it. They're better men than me because I'm a sinner. And I fought it. And I cried tears. And I don't cry tears. I cried tears on my knees in the woods past my dad's house on a stump crying to God, I cannot do this. I am not worthy to do this. I doubted. Gideon doubted. He said, if you'll put fleece of wool on the floor, if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand. He's already seen works of God, yet he's doubting. Do we not see works of God daily? Do we not see children being born? That's a miracle of God. Do we not see the wicked having their own works turn against them? That's the hand of God. We see it daily. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not their gods. Don't fear them. See, arose early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And the ground was dry. And after seeing this, he did it again. He said, this time, let the dew be on the ground, not on the fleece. And so it was. 2 points of him standing in doubt of God. Yet he is in the roll call of the Hall of Fame of faith, because God, by His Spirit, giving him faith to overcome, just as He does with His people today, that is you, as He gives you faith to overcome and stand with God, because God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is a promise. That is a yea. That is an amen. The Lord told Gideon, multitudes of people with him. Chapter 7, verse 2, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites unto their hands, because God knows our nature. He didn't cause it, but he knows it. We fell. How? By vanity. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as God, knowing good and evil. Is that not vanity? Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. I'm not going to send a multitude because you claim it was your work. What is preached in most of the houses that call themselves Christian today? You've got to accept the Lord. You've got to receive Him as your personal Savior. There's some truth in that as far as laying hold and not letting go of Christ while we walk by faith in this world. But we have absolutely nothing to do with it. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Now from a police officer's standpoint, in the day which I was a police officer, when you could enforce the law, we would have said there was 22,000 cowards went home. But that's the nature of man. There remain 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Still too many. Bring them down the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. In other words, who I tell you is going is going. Who I tell you is not is not. He is God. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He knows all things. All His ways are judgment. All His ways are right. Start thinking about faith here. We'll see why Gideon's mentioned. He had at least 32,000, because 22,000 left, there's 10,000 still here. This is being greatly reduced. God is greatly reducing them for the glory and purpose of God. Do not wonder
why God suffers things to be as they are. That I may might make my glory known in thee, he said, Pharaoh. To Pharaoh, of Pharaoh. Things happen in this world. Nothing happens unless it's ordained of God or it's suffered of God to be so. But all is for the glory of Christ. Where he gives us deliverance, we have deliverance. Where we suffer, it is for his glory, and we will be delivered from that too. And I'm going to say this again. Again. The greatest deliverance of all is to leave this body of sin, because then instantly we're in the presence of our Savior. He told him, verse 5, chapter 7, Judges. So he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue, he gets down on his prone, and he laps water with his tongue as a dog. I remember as a child reading this. I was probably 12 years old. And many times that's how we would drink from the streams that flew out of the side of that mountain I grew up on. We would lay upon our stomach and chest and put our face down in the water and drink like a dog. Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, shall him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. 300 people. The enemy are as grasshoppers. We stand in a dark world. We're in a time of falling away from the truth of God. Is this the last time? I do not know. I do not have that knowledge. Only God has that knowledge. I'm told evil men and deceivers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What am I to do? As the Bible says, continue in the things which thou hast learned. Continue serving God. I'm not knowing what day it is. I'm not to be concerned with what day it is. I'm to have faith in God that God will carry us all through this life and into heaven and immortal glory, and on the day of judgment bring our bodies back with our spirit and soul. And so shall we ever be the Lord. There's 300 men here going to be against a whole nation. They're like grasshoppers upon the face of the earth. So the people took victuals in their hand, their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men. We're vastly outnumbered. We are heavenly outnumbered. My children laugh at me when I used to say this years ago, but it's a very true fact. You remember the moral majority. You remember Jerry Falwell. Well, one thing he said I agreed with, one man with God is a majority. One man. We feel to be so outnumbered as Christians, as disciples of Christ. This whole world is in darkness. Don't have to mention and describe it. You know everything that goes on. Because it's pushed and it's pushed and it's pushed. And the sad part is, many times accepted. 300 men. This would be a good time to mention the remnant, the few in the church which God has sustained. For God will not be left without witness. I've said this before, I'll say it again. And I can prove it by Scripture. Everyone born of the Spirit of God has the ability to join the church, to worship, to do the thing we're commanded to do. But
But then we see the parable of the sower, and we see that the flesh and the world gets in the way. If God did not preserve a remnant, the church would be gone. There were 300 men. Do you feel alone? Don't. God is with us. And here's another lack of faith. We're not through yet. God said the same night, "Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand." He's already destroyed Baal's altar. He's already seen the fleece and the dew twice. Why would he doubt God? But God knows us, and God gives faith. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Do you hear what the world has to say? Do they not hate God? Do they not hate you because you are God's people? And on that same hand, do they not fear you as they feared the nation of Israel in the Old Testament? Because it's manifested that God is with you and that God fights for you. And they went down. And to the outside of the armed men that were in the host, the outside of the army. And the Midianites, Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude. You've got two children of God have come down to spy, I'll use that word, on these people, so that they could hear what was said. Because God had directed them to do so, and God would bless them. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it. And the tent lay along." And his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel." You are children of Israel. Study this text. Scripture teaches us God is with you personally. God is with us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. For into his hand, Gideon's, who's doing the work, hath God delivered Midian. And all the host, the great multitude that was grasshoppers. And when Gideon heard this, the telling of the dream, the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped. When we come here and we talk and we speak and we sing and we pray, and if God is willing, hear the sound of the gospel trumpet being blown for the assembly of saints to come to the household of faith and worship God. We worship him. He returned in the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." I'm going to tell you, brethren, I'm going to declare unto you by the authority of the 1611 King James Bible, for there is none other, that God hath delivered all things into your hand, because they're all delivered in Christ. We may walk through this world in misery, afflicted, persecuted, hated, cast down. We may die a death of agony. But when we die, it's no more. We are with Christ.
And while we live in this world, God blesses us. I will never forget my grandmother Lois Winslet's eyes as she lay in the bed. Her children took such good care of her. 6 years, I believe. She never had a bed sore. They loved their mother. They took care of her. And she could not move. She had a feeding tube. But in her eyes, you saw grace. In her eyes, you saw peace. God was with her till the day He took her from that body. Gideon takes these 300 men, divides them into three companies of 100. You notice you're not going to see a sword here. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand. A trumpet. Well, that's preachers. No, that's everybody. That's just 300. That's these that are God sustained. That's these that God is going to use to defeat the enemy in this world, the enemy of His people. To speak of Christ. Yes, the preachers to preach. Mothers teach your children at home. Fathers, teach these things to thy sons and thy sons' sons diligently. Coming home last night, I told Levi, I said, you know, when I was a boy, our role models as men were strong men. They had beards. They wore rough-looking clothing. They drove trucks. They did all sorts of things that a lot of people were said were nasty habits like tobacco and such things. But by golly, they were men, and that was manifested. That's what we had for role models. The Scripture may call them vain men, but God uses hard men who protects you at night. And today, forgive me, I don't mean to offend, but today, the little bicycle shorts and the bicycles coming over the mountain, the pretty little helmets, where's the manhood? Where's the manhood? I told Levi and my son Joshua sitting beside me, said, I'm tired of hearing that because y'all taught us this. I said, no, I did not teach my sons this. I taught my sons to be men. And to protect your family. And to defend the gospel. And walk with Christ. And then we both agreed. The big trouble is that nobody's taught them. Nobody's taught them. I'm not going to tell my children how to worship God, somebody said. And then she wonders because none of her children are in the church. Not one. What did God tell Moses? Thou shalt diligently teach these things unto thy sons and thy sons' sons. And we wonder why we're collapsing. We're to blow the trumpet. They've got a trumpet. Gideon said, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Gideon does not have a physical sword. They've got a pitcher. They've got a light. They've got a trumpet. The trumpet portrays the gospel. The light portrays the light of Christ. The pitcher, the vessel, the cistern. The body of Christ, which was broken, the light of God, which shines forth in the hearts of His children. Blow that trumpet! They came unto the outside of the camp, beginning of the middle watch. They had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And God turned their own swords against them, okay? God has the ability to do that. He did it then. He does it today. You see them falling by their own devices. And I'm speaking of government.
And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled, and the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man sword against his fellow. The Lord delivered them. And the host fled to Bethshittah, the Zarephath, and the border of, I can't pronounce that, I'm to Tobias, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, come down against the Midianites. They gathered together. They fought them. They took two princes of the Midianites and slew them. They defeated them. Even though Gideon stood in doubt, even though Gideon sought signs, even though Gideon had to hear one of the enemy proclaim that God was going to defeat them, God gave him faith. He stood in faith. Faith is of God. I'll go so far as to say faith is God, for it's the knowledge of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Faith. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon.